Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything else began, and he holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the first of all who will rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friends. He has done this through his death on the cross in his own human body. As a result, he has brought you into the very presence of God, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand in it firmly. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed by God to proclaim it. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am completing what remains of Christ's suffering for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his message in all its fullness to you Gentiles. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to his own holy people. For it has pleased God to tell his people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. For this is the secret. Christ lives in you, and this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. So everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. We warn them and teach them with all the wisdom God has given us. For we want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. That was a lot of words, wasn't it? There's a lot of information there. History says that this is called the Christ hymn, that it tells about Jesus, why Jesus is important. It gets to the meat of the letter, and it gives words to prepare the people in Colossae in this area of churches to be prepared for what is to come. So it talks about the work of Christ Jesus. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Christ has supreme rank. He is the ultimate goal of creation. Christ is truly unique. There's no one like him. Christ has a role in salvation through his actions. He's an agent of reconciliation on the cross. And the church has a role in this work as we are part of this intimate relationship with God, remembering who we are and whose we are. So this Christ hymn becomes the foundation of this letter at this point. So I wonder, why do people need this hymn or need these words, this proclamation? Well, there was all sorts of stuff going on in this region. There were lots of evangelists and missionaries all coming to share their version of Christ Jesus. So Paul's voice was just another voice amidst all of that chaos. So now to really get an idea of what that felt like, I need you to take out that insert and create some chaos with me. If you look on the inside here, we have two different pages. On the left-hand side, there's a bunch of words, and you get to read those words out loud together. We're going to divide you into a couple of groups, and then group three is up over here to help us out. So group one is going to be this side of the sanctuary, and group two is going to be over here. Now, don't worry, you just have to read. You can read at your own pace, as loud, as soft as you want. Whatever comes out, okay? I'm going to start with this group over here, and then I'll let you know when to come in. And just read all the way through. Okay, ready, go. We have been told to move this world's happiness. They're not very loud, so I need you guys to be louder. Are we ready? Go ahead. We have been told to keep
the powers that move the world's happiness by observing certain festivals in certain ways. We have to use certain foods in order to gain favor with God. We must worship the new moons on certain days.
The sun shall rain. We're on verse 3, if you'd like to join us. We're on verse 3, if you'd like to join us. Verse 5.
Let every creature rise and bring peculiar honors to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat the loud amen.
I have to say that I just really enjoyed that from up here. I don't know about you, but some of you had stopped early on when this group came in because they came in just a little bit louder. And you're like, I have no idea, so you just quit. Some of you didn't even start to begin with, and that's okay too. And then some got confused when this voice came out over here. So you can just imagine what it was like, all of these different voices in one place trying to proclaim a message of truth about Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to guess that those messages on that left-hand side of the page may not be messages that we are bombarded with today, but we do have messages out there that are trying to convince us of something, that are trying to steer us in one direction or another. Some of the voices I heard this week are, if you just eat the right food, you can achieve the right look, and all's going to be great. Really? Does that really work? Some people said that if you invest at the right time, then you will surely arrive. What other kind of messages might you be hearing out there? Because everyone's life is bombarded with something, and everyone's life is either governed or driven by something. The question is, what? Something will capture you. The question is, what will that be? I think for Paul, he was trying to tell these people in Colossae that no matter what voice you are hearing, Christ is the voice that will bring that harmony. But how? I wonder how that is possible and how this is all going to work out in our learning and in our living. Because I would guess that our thoughts and ideas change and develop over the years. I've read a book by a theologian named Brian McLaren. It's called Generous Orthodoxy. And he confesses his own journey, and he talks about his growth in understanding Jesus Christ. And along the way, he's met seven Jesuses. He said the first one he met as a child, the conservative Protestant Jesus, the Jesus that was born to die, that the focal point was that Jesus' innocent death on the cross was for Brian's sins. And Brian decided that seemed a little bit individualistic and legalistic, definitely not global. So then he met the Pentecostal charismatic Jesus. this present, personal, and dramatically involved Jesus in your everyday life through the Holy Spirit. And Brian just got frustrated and concerned with the whole world for history, for creation. So he met the Roman Catholic Jesus. This Jesus helped him to focus on the Eucharist and what happens at our table, and that connection to ancient tradition. And then he felt that this was kind of exclusive of the church, and that frustrated him. So he met the Eastern Orthodox Jesus. This Jesus emphasized the Trinity, affirmed the mystery, and still was engaged in the world. This is when Brian began to focus on social justice that grew out of his personal experience of faith in Christ. And then he met the Anabaptist Jesus, this historic focus on peace and nonviolence. And then he met the liberation theology Jesus that confirmed the injustice in the whole of society and stood in solidarity with the poor and the oppressed. And this is where Brian still is today. That's kind of complicated. That's a lot of different Jesuses out there. And I would bet some of us have met some of those seven. Maybe some of us live within one of those seven theologies. Maybe we're in our own unique place. But somewhere along the line, we've met and experienced a different voice. Now, Brian doesn't say that one of those Jesus is better than the other. He just says that this is what he's learned along his journey, just like you've learned different things along your way. But I think one thing is clear, whether it's Brian or whether it's Paul. These theologians want us to think about the role of the church, the role of a Christian, the role of a disciple in proclaiming Christ Jesus, being part of this activity of reconciliation, being part of Christ's mission in the world. So what does that look like? Who is the Jesus that you proclaim? If you were to write your own Jesus message on the left-hand side of that insert, what would you write down? Who is the Jesus that you have come to love and know and share? What would people see from you as a disciple of Christ and what God's love is all about? Or maybe it's a song. Maybe music speaks to you, and maybe there's a song or a hymn that proclaims Christ Jesus for you. My mom was one of those people. I've often stood here and said that my parents really didn't teach me much about faith, but I was wrong. As I reflect upon it, my mom taught in her own quiet little way. For 20 years, the last 20 years of her life, she had been sick. And the last seven were pretty horrific. And the last three, every emergency trip from Texas to Nebraska, we planned her funeral. And every one of those trips, her funeral was different. Something new would arise. She did not want funeral sandwiches. She wanted hot roast beef sandwiches for her husband. She wanted to make sure that the right music was sung for her son. She wanted to make sure the right people were there for her daughter. Whatever it might be, she had a different plan every time when she thought it was her time. But one thing remained the same throughout all of those funeral plans, and that was her last song. The last song that she wanted sung at her funeral is the one that she wanted all people to remember and proclaim about the God that she knew and loved. We sang Joy to the World. My mom died at Thanksgiving, and yes, we sang a Christmas carol at her funeral. But it was great because it proclaimed who she was as a person. If you've ever really listened to those words, it's a pure song of praise by everyone, whether it's people or creation. It's singing, it's joyous, it's blessings flowing. It's all about the wonders of God's love. That's a message to share. So no matter if it's words on the left-hand side or actions in our lives or a song or a hymn that we would share and sing, what is it that you proclaim about Christ? Because the truth is, Christ does dwell in you. And people see that as a Christian. They look to you. Who is the Jesus that you share with them? What is that hope and that joy in your living that proclaims God to them? What does that look like? What will it be? No matter what, God be with you on the journey.